Welcome to another episode of Hot Fishin', a loving video essay parody of one of my favorite YouTube channels. While a bit tongue-in-cheek, I am borrowing this format for a reason. Today, we're discussing Apple augmented reality and the Apple marketing hype machine. Apple recently showed the world their plans for a mixed reality headset. But is this what consumers were really expecting after years of speculation? This $3,500 headset is the first device for Apple to showcase their new spatial computing platform. Spatial computing, of course, is Apple's brand name for mixed reality software. I've been playing with more affordable wearable displays for years now, but there have been regular replies and comments on my videos cautioning others against buying these affordable headsets. Either they're too simple, perceived as too expensive, the tech is immature, or something better will be right around the corner. That last point of criticism often tied to the world's most profitable tech manufacturer. Apple fans have been waiting for years now. Did Apple deliver the sleek frames we'd been promised for over a decade? Well, no. Apple's first product does not look like this. It looks like this. This isn't completely a problem of Apple's making. More, the Apple hype media machine got out of control. Tech reviewers and YouTubers were responsible for overpromising on Apple's behalf, asserting that the Apple hype machine was promising science fiction. I've often been met with defensive attitudes. Folks claiming I'm exaggerating the problems with tech journalists reporting on Apple, or they complain about my tone. Reading through the replies on my videos made me anxious. Was I completely off base? Have I misremembered the last 10 years of face computing products? Was I really that out of touch? It feels like tech enthusiasts are trying to rewrite that history now, so it's worth a quick examination while we can still find some evidence to support this argument, even with CNET trying to erase years of articles to game search engine algorithms, but I digress. How did we get here? A brief history of face computing. Humanity has been playing with optical information delivery systems that we put on our faces for well over a century now, but we largely agree that the first work in immersive virtual reality started in the 1950s, and the first wearable helmets emerged in the 1960s. VR would resurface in the 1990s, showing up in arcades, but consumer VR wouldn't really become feasible until the early 2010s with products like the Oculus Developer Kit. Augmented reality is a little different though. It's not intended to be an immersive experience like virtual reality. Augmented reality has existed in simpler forms for decades now. A good example might be a heads-up display in a car, delivering simple pieces of relevant information to the driver. AR is not meant to block the world around you. It's built to incorporate simple pieces of relevant information into your field of view, blurring the lines between fully immersive VR and fully open AR. We see a halfway point with mixed reality, passing a video feed of the user's surroundings to a display and laying information on top of that video feed, like the heads-up displays we see in fighter jets. Movie depictions of that are easily found, like the first Top Gun movie. The targeting system in the F-14 is an overlay, delivering information that augments the pilot's view. In science fiction films, the depiction of augmented and mixed reality built off of those early military heads-up displays. Terminator and RoboCop were natural evolutions of the fighter jet systems used for targeting. But adding the movie magic of object recognition, speech-to-text transcription, and contextual data delivery with some basic networking functionality. The Terminator even displaying an aptitude for language learning model-style replies to questions. Later films would start blending augmented reality with holographic workspaces like Avatar, Minority Report, and Iron Man. But once we put a helmet on Tony Stark's face, we see another evolution in mixed reality movie magic. This modern version would be more familiar to people just getting their first tastes of advanced feature phones and smartphones. These were fantastic representations of technology, but just grounded enough to entice tech enthusiasts and consumers alike. It's magical movie visual effects, but it felt like it could actually happen soon. In 2012, when Google showed off the Google Glass headset, it created a ripple in tech journalism. That first promo video, titled Project Glass, One Day, promised a vision of the near future, with discreet, at-a-glance notifications, POV video calling capabilities, and contextual information displayed at eye level. A future where people would not be looking down at their phones all the time, but they could still be connected to important information and services. While the promo video was a touch optimistic compared against the actual first-generation product, Google was cautious not to overpromise what a then-current heads-up display would be capable of. There is no head tracking. Information is delivered in little applet windows. Interactions are brief. There is no object recognition. The closest they get to science fiction is a real-time notification about a subway line being down while the user is walking down the steps to a subway station. We all know Google's location cards never worked that reliably. But Google had done it. Consumers got their first look at a practical, daily wearable, heads-up display. The first system that could pull information from our phones and augment our reality with that information being displayed at eye level. And this is where the Apple Glasses hype machine started in earnest, promoting the idea that Apple would be capable of producing a magical science fiction headset in response to Google's Glass. The criticisms of Google Glass were readily apparent. It was an asymmetrical and lopsided affair that looked like a clumsy add-on to a pair of glasses, and there were numerous concerns over privacy, thanks to the camera built in. The functionality was there, and the experience was interesting, but there were plenty of areas to improve on Google's first concept. If any company has a reputation for refinement, it's Apple. Apple fan editorialists immediately started retconning the conversation, downplaying Google's achievements. Articles arrived criticizing Glass and showing patents Apple had filed years before. It did not matter that the older diagrams were all clumsier than what Google had actually delivered. The proof was in the patents. Apple was working on this. They were going to deliver something incredible. While the hype on Google Glass was at its highest, and before the glasshole reputation tanked the product, there was rampant speculation about how Apple would respond to Glass. Of course, Apple would arrive later to this party. Apple is never first to market with consumer tech, but journalists asserted Apple would deliver the polish and refinement consumers really wanted. Numerous editorials spread the glasshole FUD and cautioned people against heads-up displays. If you listened to editorials like these in 2013, you denied yourself the chance to try something fun. If we believe the online tech pundits that Apple has been prototyping headsets since 2006, that would mean Apple has been working on AR glasses for 17 years now, with nothing yet to show the public. I guess Apple really is taking the time to do it right. An actual quote from an editorial of the time. Apple glasses would likely be far more elegant and far less risky. Until then, watch out for all those damn glass holes. Who knows what those cameras might be catching? Apple had made no public statements about possible plans for AR. This was pure editorial speculation. And in the mind of this specific author, Apple making absolutely no claims about a potential headset was far less risky than Google actually shipping a product. Plus, you have to share a chuckle at that extra little dig of Android users are probably perverts thrown in for good measure. And this is a common refrain in tech journalism. Even before Apple can prove their position in a new market, tech journalists give them an infinitely long runway to get their tech right. If a competitor's product isn't perfectly polished at launch, it gets panned. Apple gets a benefit of the doubt that no other tech company enjoys. Techies expect other companies to lift off like helicopters. Apple gets the impossibly long runway from Fast and Furious 6. In the case of Apple augmented reality, Apple has gotten an 11-year-long runway of positive consideration without ever showing a headset to the public. This article from 2012 is critical of a future Apple eyeglass product, not because the author didn't believe Apple could make a good headset, but because Apple will make it too good. Eyeglass will be too good, and that's a concern for social situations. We see this mirrored in the conversation surrounding Vision Pro today. While there's some token resistance to the exorbitant price, it's always mentioned in a tone that suggests only Apple deserves to set the market and price for their own products. Only Apple is allowed to make an expensive first-generation public beta developer kit, where other companies in the VR and AR space are criticized for releasing products one-third the cost. The Vision Pro is the promise of a grand future to come. It has to be expensive, you see, because Apple said so. Like these editorials from over a decade ago, speculation on Apple products runs exceedingly positive. But Juan, you might be saying right now, Juan, these are all old editorials, and Google Glass failed. Surely you don't believe the internet's memory is this long when people criticize the current face displays you're reviewing today. And I thank you for that question, Strawman, that I just made up, because the hype surrounding a potential Apple headset never died. It morphed and evolved and grew into its own ridiculous cottage industry of leaks and rumors. Following the glasshole backlash, the entire market for heads-up displays chilled for a while. The general pivot was to put this tech into medical, industrial, and warehouse situations. AR left the consumer scene. Google Glass was maintained, improved, and sold to business sectors. It was only discontinued in March of 2023, which, for a Google project, is a surprisingly long-lived success. In 2015 and 2016, the hot face computing product was virtual reality, and the race was off with Oculus and the HTC Vive taking early steps in consumer VR, later joined by Microsoft with their mixed reality headsets. Here, we see a split in the Apple hype machine over what product Apple might release first. Remember, we all knew that Apple was working on a Google Glass-style product, but now the rumor machine was also pointing to data on an Apple VR headset. Little trickles of information coming out of the company, people being hired to work on various teams, apps in development. Techies were trying to follow the breadcrumbs. Apple hype machine participants could not quite lock down what Apple's face computer strategy might look like, but the speculation remained exceedingly positive. In those early days of VR, in 2015, you could dabble with Samsung Gear VR, Google Cardboard, and Daydream style solutions using your phone, but numerous articles pointed to patents filed by Apple in the VR space. Another quote from the time: "Today's published patent demonstrates that Ive and Tim Cook weren't just throwing out Google Glass criticisms without having done their homework first." Almost 3 years after Google Glass, Apple fans were still patting themselves on the back for not trying other heads-up displays. Now, they were patting themselves on the back for not playing with the first generations of consumer VR. Gear VR and Daydream were real products you could buy and try, and they had some fun applications and games to play. They were never the conclusion of the VR journey, but an accessible first step to help educate consumers on where VR could go. According to rumors, Apple had been prototyping headsets since 2006. The general tone of editorials of the time still indicated that competing products were unpolished toys, but Apple would deliver the polished consumer-facing experience that would be worth your money. Apple had not shown or shipped any hardware, but it was still discussed as the safer long-term bet. Into 2016 and 2017, rumors on AR glasses were heating back up as Apple showed off early augmented reality camera features built into the iPhone. Surely, Apple was building a more robust developer community around AR apps in advance of their future Google Glass-killing AR glasses. Apple glasses must be right around the corner. The Apple glasses were not right around the corner. These hype machine instances come in cycles. We see another surge in Apple glasses rumors starting roughly 5 years ago, now fueled by new animated concept designs and a larger pack of video tech commentators. There was big money in getting the hype machine clicks and views on videos. The more popular the company, the better that company does for search engines. The easier it is to make money on your videos. Apple is very search engine popular. Apple videos make more money. Apple glasses became the low-hanging fruit of video tech commentary. It's easy to mock up a fancy-looking pair of glasses and throw some app-like elements on a first-person perspective, polish up a few animations, and pitch that as the next hot thing Apple will announce. Almost all of these mock-ups and demos grossly misrepresented what a consumer heads-up display might be capable of doing, while also significantly underestimating the design challenges of incorporating this technology into a pair of glasses. While Google was cautious not to overpromise what Google Glass would eventually be capable of doing, online commentators rarely showed the same restraint. Apple glasses would be sleek, slim, elegant. They would look indistinguishable from normal glasses. There would be almost no visual clues that they were technology products, heavily leaning into Apple-style marketing and fashion. And the tech presented would be spatially aware, contextually rich, and we'd finally get that Iron Man-style vision of the future. Google Glass was clumsy, unattractive, and limited. Keep waiting, because Apple will get it right. Lining up in front of every major Apple conference and keynote, we can find online prognosticators and leakers proclaiming, this was the year we'd get Apple glasses. They're going to revolutionize the tech industry. They're going to replace the iPhone as the next hot product segment. There was still a division in the Apple hype machine, that Apple was likely working on multiple face computer products. A VR headset was also still likely, but focusing on phrases like glasses and augmented reality, roughly 3 years ago, that's when we started talking about incredible AR technology at shockingly disruptive prices. As near as I can track down, it was 2020 when we saw the first rumors claiming Apple glasses would cost $499. This year marked a major pivot in the promises of what Apple glasses would be from the Apple hype machine. Instead of a magical, completely contained, singular tech product, it would be a new optical system connected to your iPhone. But a significant amount of futuristic speculation still remained. Low cost, LiDAR for location awareness, and air gestures for navigating a completely new user interface were common themes on the rumored spec sheet. All of these rumors still seemed to confirm that Apple was making a more spatially aware product, and numerous videos pointed to the work being done on AR camera apps for iPhones. 7 years after Google Glass, it would seem that Apple had finally cracked the nut on consumer AR. It would be sleeker and more sophisticated. The lenses would be more discreet. The control would be more elegant. The earlier predictions of Apple glasses replacing the iPhone were conveniently hand-waved away. The hype machine had previously spent years promising a Microsoft HoloLens-style experience in something that could fit in a shirt pocket. Ignore all that, because now, we really know what Apple is doing now. Not only would Apple do it right and smaller than any previous solution, they were also going to do it cheaper than any company had ever produced face optics in the history of face computing to that point. On a personal note, it is hilarious to me to think that there were techies out there who really thought Apple was going to deliver the cheapest face display the world had ever seen. Even today, simpler face displays are only just now selling for under $400. But I digress again. Back to the video. Of course, none of those claims came to pass. Apple's iPhone event came and went. The iPhone 12 launched, and the focus was on 5G. There was no augmented reality one more thing. That would not deter the Apple Glasses hype machine, though. A quick pivot. In 2019, we got to play with the Focals by North, a practical, heads-up display system moving a smartwatch-style interface up to eye level. In 2020, we started seeing a new breed of face displays. The first I was able to demo in 2021, the TCL Nextwear G, was a novel solution incorporating micro OLEDs and birdbath optics to float a screen out in front of the user. Microsoft had pivoted HoloLens away from consumer applications, instead investing in military augmented reality for government contracts. So, in a consumer vacuum left by Google, Microsoft, Samsung, and Apple, numerous smaller players were starting to dip their toes into alternative wearable displays and projector-style products. As I played with each of these, I was often met with the same reluctance from tech enthusiasts. After roughly 8 years of Apple hype rumors, it was just ingrained in the consciousness of techies that Apple AR was right around the corner. It did not matter what any other company produced, it was immediately deemed too clumsy, too expensive, and would be rendered obsolete as soon as Apple Glasses made their way to market. Consumers and techies alike seemed to believe that movie-style augmented reality was coming soon. The Apple hype train on YouTube never slowed down. From 2 years ago, we still saw concepts and demos and leak videos promising an Iron Man-style experience in a pair of thin frames. Most of these videos still relied on the same images and concept designs, repeating the same information we've been promised before. As another brief aside, I did enjoy this thumbnail with the AR emoji. The title, "AR You Kidding Me?" was a tasty pun to find while researching this video, so kudos. That one was fun. Moving on. 1 year prior to the launch of Vision Pro, if you search for Apple and AR or Apple and glasses, you were still finding new leaks and new editorials promising thin frame glasses and repeating the $499 price mentioned by leakers 2 years prior. The backdrop I'm using for this video is a scroll of one of those search results, and the video I recorded takes 9 minutes to scroll through a portion of those search results. There are many, many more videos out there than the handful of thumbnails I'm showing here. Digging through YouTube archives as recently as 4 months before the reveal of Vision Pro, we were still seeing the same mock-ups and rumors on Apple Glasses as thin-framed face displays. I was only able to find one thumbnail that acknowledged the potential VR headset, which was also rumored to be in development as part of a broader Apple face computer strategy. Literally until the last month before the reveal of Vision Pro, the rumor machine was still largely promoting a thin frame AR solution from Apple, or at least a pair of solutions covering AR and VR separately. Following the reveal of Vision Pro, the conversation shifted radically. Now that we knew what Apple's first mixed reality headset would look like, there's now a general fog of forgetfulness surrounding the previous promises and claims. Now, when pressed on the history of VR and AR tech and how we got to this point, many tech enthusiasts seem to forget the last 10 years that led us up to this point. The claims made by the Apple hype machine are still broad and fanciful, and criticisms of Apple's presentation are met with open hostility. as a VR and AR enthusiast myself, Apple fans demand I treat Apple's marketing claims with reverence. And if I'm really a tech enthusiast, I should give Apple unlimited patience to bring a $3,500 headset to market. Mind you, according to Apple enthusiasts, Apple has also been working on this tech for 17 years now. I feel I've been patient enough, and I think it's long past time tech journalists more appropriately cover competition in this space. I do not believe that we can bring AR to the masses by working from the top of the market down. I don't believe that's how you build this ecosystem, by first selling the most expensive mixed reality headset we've ever seen. There's a lot we still need to learn about making screens for people to wear on their face and making sure we're producing this tech in healthy and responsible ways. All the lessons we've been trying to skip over by ignoring simpler heads-up displays. The Apple PR machine is scaling up now, coining new mixed reality brand names for software and features VR enthusiasts have already been using for years now. Apple has not learned the lessons from Google Glass, like concerns on privacy. But of course, journalists will only paint Android users as perverts for using glasses cameras. Apple is already trying to misrepresent the progress of available VR and mixed reality solutions, but these are all recent developments in the conversation surrounding Apple face displays. Apple operates an incredible marketing department that regularly distorts the reality of consumer tech. But in this specific situation, Apple AR hype was largely maintained by journalists and influencers. Apple did very little directly to sustain this decade-long exercise. 11 years after the first Google Glass concept video, 7 years after the introduction of Microsoft's HoloLens, years of tech journalists and YouTubers telling people other products weren't good enough to try, comparing actual devices against imaginary products that still have not seen the light of day. And all for what? What did this Apple gamesmanship get us? We still do not have a practical daily driver wearable headset. We still do not have practical consumer heads-up displays or augmented reality. After almost 12 years of speculation, in 2024, around 100,000 people we'll get to play with the world's most expensive first-generation mixed reality headset. And the best way to use it is to sit awkwardly still so it can scan your hands, because we certainly don't want to be bothered with bulky controllers. I do not believe this was the destination most people expected when they first boarded the Apple AR hype train all those years ago. I've been following this space passionately for over 10 years now. There are profound implications to moving consumers to wearable optical systems. I've been fortunate enough to test drive several solutions that I believe consumers would have enjoyed had they been given a fairer shot by the tech press at large. All of them coming from smaller companies with much smaller marketing budgets, boutique gadgets that deserved more attention, but those are easy brands for reviewers to pan while promoting an Apple-first ad revenue strategy. It's easier for tech journalists to promote what's already popular. Apple is already popular, so it's easier to make money on content promoting Apple. It's less about educating tech consumers and more about confirming the bias of a specific audience. Some folks might be bristling at those last assertions, but even when other companies are doing excellent work in this wearable space, influencers have to frame the conversation around Apple to make more money. From Apple journalists so preciously defending Apple innovation and prototyping in the past, now YouTubers are packing Apple as the main keyword for practical wearable displays today. Apple has nothing to do with this product segment. Apple makes no products in this space. But here we are. Apple AR Glasses Tech Preview. I need Apple to make this. commentators trying to profit from incredible pandering, which would be hilarious if it weren't so appallingly obvious. But Google and YouTube's search algorithms like this kind of popularity pandering. People make a lot of money on it. It just works. But it also grossly distorts the actual consumer electronics landscape. Consumers are not well educated on what tech is really out there, and which products might better suit their needs and budgets, because YouTube rigs the deck to focus on popularity. The tone of my editorials is, of course, frustrated, as I feel consumers have been robbed of 10 years of products that could now be solving more significant issues in the electronics space today, from social issues, distraction, tech addiction, and to a more equitable landscape, embracing accessibility. And even before Vision Pro has made it out to the public, the hype machine is already back at the rumors. While I was editing this video, another series of articles have been published with the real scoop on Apple's first daily wearable glasses. They're coming, folks. They're real. Keep waiting. Thanks to Apple hype and tech journalists slinging FUD at competitors, there's a whole cottage industry of people misrepresenting what Apple is capable of producing while downplaying Apple's competition. We've lost 10 years of potential experiences in the AR market, 10 years of consumers trying these ideas and contributing to the evolution of face displays. All because we keep telling people to wait. Don't buy what's out now. Apple didn't make it. And what if you like something that Apple didn't make? And of course, I'd love to hear from viewers on this video. What do you think will be the first practical applications of augmented reality for mainstream consumers? We're seeing some progress with media, entertainment, and gaming. But what about notifications, navigation, or translation? What do you think will be the killer apps that get more consumers interested in trying some of these experiments? I hope to see some comments down below this video. And of course, I'm always interested in some healthy debate. Thanks so much for watching. If you enjoyed this video, I would not recommend subscribing to this channel. I rarely make videos like these, though I might interest you in a recent podcast I produced examining decades of market abuse from Samsung, which you can find on my home site, somegadgetguide.com, or anywhere else you might subscribe to audio podcasts. If you like this video essay format, I'd suggest following Cold Fusion, who I lovingly cribbed this style of production from. And a huge thank you to the list of names scrolling by on your screen from my Patreon, patreon.com/somegadgetguy. These are the absolute coolest tech pals on the planet, and this video would literally not exist without their support. You can find me around the rest of the internet, posting across social media as Some Gadget Guy. I'm always happy to chat about tech where you can find me, and I will catch you all on the next video.